Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more about City Harvest or Pastor Derek, please visit chcus.org or derekdunn.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform at chcus and Derek Dunn OC.
Come on, give the Lord a big hand, amen. Our God is invincible. Tell your neighbor, your God is invincible. And really, as we come into this season, it's a crisis of faith. It's an opportunity for us to be tested. And what do we really believe? You know, we preach so much, and faith is not just hearing and hearing by the word of God, but faith is doing. And how do we really know what we believe? Because when what we believe is tested, when we're under pressure, what we really believe, it comes out. Amen? And I believe as a church, it's an opportunity for us in the midst of a time when there's storms to be the anchor to other people. As we're anchored upon His Word, as we're anchored upon Christ, that we can be a living testimony, we can be a source of strength, of hope, and share His love during this time. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the spirit of faith. We thank You for all that You've given to us, Your name, Your Word, Your blood, that You've given us tools, God. You said the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling down strongholds. We thank You, God, that You are invincible. And God, let us have eyes to see, ears to hear. Let us have understanding of the times and the seasons that we're living in, that we will know what to do as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Faith That Overcomes. And how do we know we have faith? A lot of people, we talk about being the faith church, and we talk about faith. And faith is not just about quoting scriptures. The scribes and the Pharisees quoted scriptures, and they knew the word, but they didn't have the right spirit of faith. And the word is very important, but more than just having the word, we can have human intellect. Sometimes we're always saying, well, I want deeper. Give me something deeper. Give me something deeper. But what have we done with the last things that we've received? The part is, you know, the Pharisees thought they were so deep, but they were so deep they missed out on Jesus. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is not complicated. It's not deep. It's like likened unto a child, that we hear the word and that we obey. Are you here? And so it's not about how much knowledge we have or heaping up information. It's about us having a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is not just a theology, and we love theology because the word is powerful. But as I told you before, for the first 1,500 years of the church, they didn't have the Bible as we have it today. Yeah. And for the next 300 years, only the priests had the Bible. Yeah. So what did the early church do? They lived according to the apostles' doctrine. And so many times we can be just looking for information. We're looking for teaching. And we leave the apostle doctrine. What was the apostle's doctrine? Following the teachings of Christ, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, partaking of the Holy Communion, life of in the Spirit. These are the things that are the foundation of our faith. But this is what much of the church and much of the world has turned its back on, where the church becomes just entertainment. It becomes just motivation. Or it comes to a place where we just want our intellects tickled. And Paul said in the last days, he said people will be love teaching. They would just want their ears to be tickled. But we need to come to the place where we are the church. The church is not a place that we go, even though we should assemble together. But are we the church in our family? Are we Christ in our neighborhood? Are we Christ in our workplace? And we begin to be salt and light in the midst of a time when what's the main influencer right now? It's the media, social media. There's great fear that's going on. But where's the voice of the church? Where's the voice of the believers? Where's the voice of the men and the women that God has set up in this time to speak to the storm and just to be Christ and speak peace into our situations? Are you here? We should not be surprised. The Bible tells us in Luke 21 verse 9, Jesus prophesied. He said, when you hear about wars and riots, don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Because these things must happen first. This is part of the plan. And The end will come later. So what does it say? Before the day of the Lord, before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be wars. There's going to be conflicts. There are going to be all of these things. And so we need to understand the times and seasons we're in. We talk and we're living in the last days. Praise the Lord. And we talk about the wealth of the unrighteous coming to the righteous, but we leave out famines, wars, disease, all that part. Because in our Christianity, sometimes it's, as faith people, we don't like the negativity. But I was studying this week, and as I look at the history of the church, this is nothing new to the church. And I heard someone, and they were talking, and it was a speaker, and they said in different languages, they don't have the same word that we have for fear. And we translate the word fear, and fear could be intimidation, it could be, but what really is fear? And I heard someone say this, in the Chinese, there's two characters for fear that come together. And you know, in the Chinese language, certain language, there's pictures that come together. And the two characters in the Chinese language, one is danger and the other is opportunity. Danger and opportunity is what fear is translated. Because in the midst of time when people are searching, when everything's being shaken, the economy's being shaken, come on, we're so afraid, we're buying all the toilet paper and, for what? Even if you got coronavirus, it doesn't have anything to do. You're not going to get diarrhea. Come on. Think about it. I saw on Facebook, and now people are kind of getting the comical side of it. And they say, what's going to happen? The next time someone gets the flu, instead of buying, nasal fluid, they buy nasal fluid. Or they buy something that doesn't apply to what the symptom is that they have. What? It doesn't make sense. But fear doesn't make sense. The world's coming to end, so let's have toilet paper. Are you here? But what does it show? Because fear doesn't make sense. It's just an emotion. It's a reaction. And he went on and he said, then he said to them, nations will fight against other nations. Hello. What's happening in our day? Kingdoms will rise against other kingdoms. And he said, in various places, there will be great earthquakes, sicknesses, a lack of food. Fearful events and great signs will come in the heavens. So what do? Run to the mountains and wait for Jesus to come back? Hide in our room and binge out on Netflix? What's the response of the church? We've got to look. And as I began to ask the Lord and begin to seek and inquire of the Lord told me, go back and study history. The church has been around for more than 2,000 years. These things are nothing new. Are you here? We're seeing an increase. There's a greater frequency, but these things are not anything new. We had H1N1. Come on. Yeah. We had SARS. We've had disease. We had the bubonic plague. Yeah. We've had diseases. It used to be in Europe, every year they would have a plague that would come through. Every year. Because they didn't have the medicine that we had. They didn't have the things that we have. How did the church respond? Friends, the early church was no stranger to plagues, to epidemics, and to mass hysteria. It was no stranger to them. They dealt with this thing. It was a part of life. In fact, according to both Christian and secular accounts, one of the main catalysts for the church's expansive growth was their response during these dark days. How they navigated disease, how they navigated suffering, how they navigated death. Come on, it's not a time for fear, friends. It's a time for faith. Amen. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Fear is not from God. I like how it says it in the NCV version. It says, God did not give us a spirit that makes us afraid, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-control. The word self-control is actually the fruit of the Spirit. It means being spirit-controlled. Are you here? Yeah. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God, are you born of God? Are you saved this morning? Yes. It says it overcomes the world. And this is our victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. What is the battle that is out there right now? It's the spirit of fear. That is traumatizing. It's an epidemic, a pandemic of fear. And we need to have an understanding of that. And we need, as the church, to build our life on the Word. We need to build our life in the presence of God. We need to build our life and be Spirit-led Be spirit controlled. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 10 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we what? Speak. What are you speaking right now? What are you posting right now? What are you talking about right now? What's coming out of your mouth? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are you speaking out? Are you in fear? Or are you speaking faith? I declare no coronavirus will come upon my family. And I declare it's washed with the blood of God and my family, my loved ones. Our church that are under this covering will not get sick in Jesus' name. Well, how can you say that? Well, that's faith. Come on. Do we get sick sometimes? Do we? Yeah, but we lay hands on the sick and with the spirit of faith, we drive out sickness. We've got to, do we believe this thing or not? Do we believe greater is in us than he's in the world? Do we believe that God is for us, that nothing can stand against us as we seek first the kingdom of heaven? Like Susan preached this morning, we're not going to draw back. We're going to continue to give. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to share the gospel like never before. Come on. That's the spirit of faith. And the world doesn't have that because the world's built on uncertainty. The stock market goes down 1,000 points and people commit suicide. And I'm not saying that lightly. I'm not making fun of that. That's terrible. But what is our house built on? Are we built? Do we believe that even like Isaac, in a time of famine, we can sow and reap 100-fold? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God will take care of us? Oh, we went to the grocery store. We met this young millennial girl. And we were laughing. We went and we got hairspray. And we got, what else did we buy? A hot dog buns, rolls. After the third grocery store, we finally found some hot dog buns. And we went there and she was laughing at what we bought. We said, well, at least, we can eat. We can have hairspray with our hot dog buns, And she was laughing. They didn't have anything else. And she was like, oh, it's the end of the world, the apocalypse. And everyone's talking like that. Why? Because all we've been watching is, Walking Dead. All we've been watching is all this show. It's a setup. We put all this stuff in and now, oh my gosh, it's that day and age. And we think, because we're looked at negativity all the time, and we watch it, but what do? We planted seeds of fear in us. Excuse me. And now the fear seeds are coming up. But we need to stay in faith, amen. We believe, therefore we speak. Whatever we bind will be bound. Whatever we loose will be loose. Are you here? During the plague, and as we went through church history, you can see that they've been handling epidemics for 2,000 years. So I went and I studied the early church. I studied the things that happened. I want to share some of that with you this morning very quickly. There were plague periods that went through the Roman Empire, and that was the biggest empire of that day. But Christians made a name for themselves during persecution, during plagues, during famine, during this time. It's where the church began to make a name for itself. Historians suggested that in the terrible Antonia plague, in the second century that happened, it killed almost a quarter of the Roman Empire. That's a lot of people. It led to the spread of Christianity because Christians cared for the sick and they offered a spiritual model for people to turn to in a time when their whole world was falling apart. The plagues, they begin to tell them, are not the work of an angry God that is against us. I love what Pastor Susan said this morning. When there were those that even weren't walking with the Lord, they weren't Israel's, and they were in the household of faith. Yeah. The blood was on the door. Even they were protected. Right. God is not trying to kill us. People call these, they're acts of God. It's not an act of God. Hurricanes and earthquakes and all, that's not an act of God. God loves people. What is it? It's a revolt against people that have revolted against a loving God. It's the work of sin in the earth, and this earth must be destroyed one day. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth because it's broken. We've been redeemed by God's grace. We've been redeemed by his love. We're saved. We're out of darkness into light. But this world, our physical bodies, come on. Dust still has to return to dust, and this world will be destroyed. We got to understand that. We got to preach. It's not God that's against us. It's not God that's angry. But it's the work of sin in a fallen world. The most famous epidemic was the plague of Cyprian. And it was named after a bishop who spoke during that time because of his emotions in his sermon, they named the play after him. Come on, you should get excited about that. Something positive. He was no more than what was happening in the plague. The disease was similar to Ebola, and it helped set off the crisis of the third century in the Roman Empire. But it did something else. It triggered explosive growth of Christianity. A century later, the pagan emperor Julian complained bitterly that the Galileans were caring for even the non-Christian sick people, and they were being converted to Christianity. Even the church historian Pontanius recounts of the Christians and how they ensured that good was done to all men, not merely to the household of faith. Come on, this is not a time just to us to take care of our own church family and our own community, and we thank God for our community. But this is time for us to look outside to those that are outside of faith. Doesn't matter what church they say they go to, or do they have a relationship with Jesus? Are they being under the spirit of faith? Are you here? In 1527, the bubonic plague hit Wittenberg. And Martin Luther refused to flee from the city, even though they encouraged him to leave the city. But he stayed and he ministered to the sick. That refusal to leave cost him the life of his daughter Elizabeth. But he produced a tract that was distributed to all the church at that time. And he said this, the title of the tract was Whether Christians Should Flee from the Plague or Not. And he said this, and he quoted him, that he said this, we must die at our posts. We must not flee our posts, but if necessary, we must be willing to die at our posts. He said, Christian doctors, you cannot abandon your hospitals. Christian governors, you cannot flee your districts. Christian pastors, you should not abandon your congregations. The plague does not dissolve our duties. He said, it turns them into crosses on which we must even be prepared to die for. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Oh, but pastor, what if somebody gives you a sickness? Well, then we'll pray for healing. But come on, doesn't the Bible say the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep? Yes. Where did hospitals come in the first place? Hospitals came because the early church, as they were ministering to the sick, they decided, let's create a place that is clean, a place that is safe, a place that is disinfected, so the sick people can come when their immune systems are low and not get exposed. The idea of the hospital came from the church. Someone say, wow. So as the world wakes up in this age of epidemic, it's not over. But what must we understand? The test of history will stand the test of time. The coronavirus will come and the coronavirus will go and there'll be something else. But it's not to make us weaker, it's to make us stronger. That we'd be relevant in our city and in our day and age. Amen? So let's exercise caution. Let's have wisdom, but not get into fear, not get into hysteria, not begin to allow misinformation to begin to dictate how we live our lives. Are you here? Amen? Yes. So what should our Christian response be in this time? Very good. What should our response be? Number one, and I'm going to give you three things this morning. Number one, we should bear witness to our faith and our trust in God. The whole world is watching. If we react like everyone else, then what's the difference? What power is there in Christian? Is it just a club that we go to? Some people go to the gym and we go to the church. Or do we really believe what we say we believe? The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 32. It talks about the spirit of faith, the heroes of faith. It said, I could go on and on. I'm reading from the Message translation, but I've run out of time. There are so many more heroes of faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, that through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms. Come on. There's no other kingdom but his kingdom. There's no other name but his name. It says, they made justice work. They took the promises of God for themselves. They were protected from lions, from fires, from swords, from disadvantage to advantage. They won battles. They routed even alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. Come on, we have a long heritage of being an overcomer. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's not us, but it's Christ that lives in us. Our God is greater. Come on. It's not just a song that we sing, but it's a lifestyle that we believe. It's what we declare. It's what we believe. Amen. It says those who were under torture, they refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips, yes, even chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, were sawed in two, who were murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, it says. But they made their way as best as they could through the cruel edges of the world. Come on, our faith is a testimony to others of our trust in God. Our faith is a testimony to others that we believe God. Our faith is a testimony that we will not die, we will not deny Him, we will not bow down. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, that I'll build my house on the rock of Jesus Christ upon His word. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. This brings me to one of the very controversial topics that is happening right now. In the midst of the plagues, they didn't cancel church. They didn't cancel church. The whole motivation behind personal sacrifice was to care for others, to reduce infection. But a community is important as we go through crisis. Our emotional well-being, our spiritual well-being is so important. The world that we live in right now, what happens? Sports have been canceled. Entertainment has been canceled. Everything's been canceled. But what a great opportunity for the church. Are you here? But historically, this is the time the church should be a lighthouse. The church should be a city of refuge. We don't close down. And I'm not saying we have to meet in the way that we're meeting today. Right now, the standard is if you have more than 250 people, you should reconsider. We can do that. But we've got rooms. If we come to the place and the church is growing, we can have more services. We've got the vision room. We can have, 100 here and 100 there. We've got our connect groups. If we're not able to meet in a formal place like this, we can meet in homes with 15 to 20 people. But the church should gather together wherever two or three are there. In His name, we are there to encourage each other, to continue to pray. The Bible says in the last days, don't give up meeting together like some are doing. Historically, that was where the church was because people needed a place to go. They needed a lighthouse in their community. Are you here? As we take communion, what are we doing? We're building our life around the promise of Jesus Christ. And there's power that's released as we commune together. Amen? Some people will say, well, this is fanaticism. Why are Christians obsessed with church going, even in the midst of disease? But it's not all. We've got to understand, the coronavirus leaves 95% of its victims still breathing. If we allow something like this to attack, what if there's something else? Amen? What if there's something that's terminal that hits the earth? Are we just going to never meet again? We need to understand and put things into the right perspective. Amen. It leads every member, even though only 95% stop breathing, it leads every member in the society afraid, anxious, isolated, alone, wondering what's happening, thoughts being tormented. That's where we need the word of faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. We need to keep preaching. We need to keep speaking. We need to keep encouraging one another in Jesus' name. Amen. An increasing pandemic, the coronavirus could mutate into an epidemic of despair. And we're seeing that happen. But what's our response be? As we come together, we gather together in the church, it's a roll call. Where we see how everyone's doing. Come on. Where those that aren't here and there's those that they have underlying health conditions, they're watching online. You don't need to feel condemned this morning. You're still participating. Yeah. But those that aren't here, we should be calling them. We should be checking on them. We should be supporting them. We should be praying for them. We should be speaking a word of encouragement into their lives. Are you here? Amen. That's what the church is. But if we allow ourselves to be isolated and cut off from one another, the place of agreement is the place of power. But the place of disagreement or the place of lack of unity, there's no power. We need to be the moral and the mental support in our communities in this time. And speak faith and speak hope and speak love. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. The early church, they met together. The early church, they weren't hiding out in the four walls of their house or of the church. They went and they were a blessing to other people. Amen. It was a rational choice. There was a balance of trade-offs. They were willing to forego other activities. They were willing to take great pains to be clean as possible so that they could meaningfully come together and support one another. So we need to walk in wisdom, amen? Without this moral support, you see the downgrading of society, even as we saw the citizens in Wuhan, China, that they can attest. And many of the people in Italy, where now they're quarantined to their homes. And what do you see? Depression, suicide, other social ills are coming in. Why? Because we were made for people. We're made for interaction. And I was so encouraged. I have a video I want to put up of the people in Italy. If you can just show it very quickly. And it's just encouraged me so much. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. In the midst of fear, they're out on their balconies. They're out singing. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I feel the presence of God when I saw that. Why? Because it doesn't matter what situation we're in. Come on, we should still stand in faith and be a city of hope to people. If you believe that, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Even the unchurched, the non-Christians that see our faith and our unity and that sense of community, it's a testimony to them of our faith in God. Christians are to be characterized by peace as they face anxious problems and circumstances. Isaiah 26, verse 3, are you still here this morning? Yes. The Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace all those that trust in Him. What's the sign of us trusting in God? We have perfect peace. The Bible talks about peace that passes understanding. It doesn't matter, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I pray this is over before our toilet paper runs out. But what if it's not? It doesn't matter. We still know God is with us, and He will see us through, and we can stand in faith. The Bible says, trust in the Lord always. Right. Come on, someone say, always. It's easy to trust in God when everything's going great. It's easy to trust in God when your stock portfolio is up. It's easy to trust in God when everything's wonderful. But are we able to trust in God always? The Bible says, for the Lord God is an eternal rock. Amen. Come on, we must be a testimony to others of our faith. Yeah. And our peace, the peace of God that rules and reigns in our heart. Number two, how else should we then be an example? We should bear witness to our love for our neighbor. It's not just about us during this time. It's not just about our community during this time. The Christian response historically when plagues began were they responded to Jesus' most famous teachings. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Greater love is no man than what? He laid down his life for his friends. So the Christian ethic that we see throughout plagues, throughout famines, is that they had a belief that our life must be regarded as less important than our neighbors. Thank you for that amen. I didn't even get one on that one. Our life is less important than our neighbors. Come on, Jesus said, even if we have to lay down our lives, and He did that for us, are we willing to lay down our lives for others? So that they would receive Christ, that they would receive hope, that they would experience the love of God. Now, Christians should be practical. We should be prayerful. And we should be proclaiming Christ's peace in this atmosphere of fear. During the time of plague, Martin Luther wrote this. And he elaborated on the fifth commandment that thou shalt not murder. And history tells us this. He actually said, if we're endangering others by our lack of wisdom or our negligence and recklessness, then we are committing murder. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. So he was very strong in the sense of sharing the love of God, but he was very strong that we would abide and walk in wisdom. He encouraged believers to obey quarantine orders, to disinfect their houses, to take precautions to avoid spreading the disease. So we're not reckless. We're not having a hyper faith. Walk in wisdom. What is wisdom? Wash your hands several times a day. If you're sick, you have a sore throat, you have a cough, stay home and watch online. Are you here? Have distancing, 3 feet distance. The World Health Organization says, some people are saying 6 feet, but the World Health says 3 feet distance. So what? It was strangers and those that you know that we don't know how their hygiene is. We don't know what they're doing. Maintain some boundaries. Are you here? So we need to walk in wisdom, not be fearful, but just walk in some wisdom. We're disinfecting our church. In between every service, the ushers are wiping down all the handles, everything, because bacteria, virus can stay on surfaces. So we're going to spraying a lot. We're going to be doing what we can to be clean. We're doing what we can at home. But we should be doing that all the time. Come on. Because let me tell you, there's more cases of the flu right now than there are of this virus. But we should walk in wisdom. We should not be coming to church and infecting each other. Or going to people and we're trying to share the gospel with them and infecting them. Be wise, but don't walk in fear. Amen? We want to care for the afflicted. But that also means not infecting the healthy. So walk in wisdom. Amen? I believe that we have authority over this. John G. Lake, during the Ebola plague, he went to Africa and he would pray for the sick, and many of them were healed. And they took the Ebola virus and they put it on his hand. And viruses live on surfaces. The minute it touched his hand, the virus died and they could not explain it. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. And he said this, the law of life in Christ Jesus that I believe, it sets me free and it has authority over the law of sin and death, so no virus can come upon my dwelling. Come on. I believe that. But let's walk in wisdom. And that promise really is for you when you're out witnessing. It's not for you not having wisdom. That's a promise that goes with the Great Commission. As we go out, as we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We'll cast out demons. That we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us. We pick up scorpions, snakes. Not that we should be a snake handler. Come on. But if something happens in the midst of sharing Christ, it will not harm us. But walk in wisdom. Have knowledge. Be informed. And again, we'll keep you updated. We want to comply with wisdom. But the church is flexible. We're a body. We have many cells. We can adjust accordingly because we built this church right. Are you here? Amen? So early Christians, I mentioned earlier, they created the first hospitals in Europe that were hygienic places where people could come and receive care and they ministered to the sick. So use good sanitary procedures. Be willing to also sacrifice for others, even at the cost of our own life. Even the cost of us getting sick. Are you here? Yeah. Obsessing over scrupulous hygiene routine is not what we want to do, but be wise. Don't obsess. You know, you don't want to have any contact with anyone. Come on. I was so moved this week. We went to the bowling alley on Friday and celebrated Tim's birthday. Give Tim a big hand. His birthday's this week. And we were wise. I brought my disinfectant wipes. All our bowling balls were disinfected. Are you here? We maintained, you know, we had our own small group. But you know, there was a 30-minute wait for the bowling alley. The place was packed out with people. And I was so moved. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, the bowling alleys are open, but the church altars are closed. Come on, we need to keep the altar open. Where people can come and receive God and come and receive the fire of God. And again, I understand the bigger churches, they're compliant, but we need to build the church right. Amen. If we can't meet like this, we'll meet in homes. We'll meet in groups of two or three. We still come together and pray and stand together. And sometimes that's even more effective because, come on, we all have to grow and rise up in faith. We need to meet practical needs. Sharing the God, love of God is sharing practical needs. Come on, the schools are closed. We're even looking for what we can do to provide maybe some childcare for the parents. Our karate dojo that I used to be a part of, they're open, they're doing disinfecting, and they're going to do a camp. Because what are parents going to do? Schools are closed for 3 weeks. Most people have 14 days leave. What are they going to do? We need to be able to help, or maybe we can help with a neighbor's kid, or help practically. Don't buy up all the toilet paper and nobody else can have toilet paper. Come on, you got two people in your family and you've got 120 rolls. What are you going to do with that? Let's be wise. Let's be respectful. Let's, you know, I saw one church online. They asked all their members, bring a roll of toilet paper to church so we can have a toilet bank, not a food bank, a toilet paper bank for needy families that they can't get toilet paper. Let's be creative and let us know what the needs are. We want to communicate that with you, that during this time we can be a blessing to our city. We can be help to our city, not just think about our own community, but love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Amen. The Good Samaritan is a picture of Jesus, that he got into the ditch. He was willing to get his hands dirty and to help the one that was sick. Amen. Number three, finally, what should we do? We should bear witness also to the return of Jesus. And I believe as we looked at the word, the Bible says pestilence, disease, it's a sign of the times that we live in. We read it at the beginning this morning. Jesus said to them, nations will fight against other nations, kingdoms against other kingdoms, and various places there'll be great earthquake, sickness or plagues, diseases, a lack of food, fearful events, and great signs will come from the heavens. These are characteristics of the approaching of Jesus Christ. This was written thousands of years ago so that we would know, not so that we can hide out, but we can tell people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see earthquakes. There was a tornado in just Tennessee just, I think, a week or so ago. Great devastation. And people lost their families. They lost their homes. These are opportunities. People are most open to the gospel during times of crisis. It's a window for us to share Christ and to be a witness to them. And it's a time when we as believers, we should ask ourselves, am I ready for the Lord's return? We should be encouraging others. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Have you received Jesus Christ? Have you confessed that you're a sinner? He loved you. He died for you. And he rose on the third day. And he's coming again. Have you received him in your life? If you died today, would you know you would go to heaven? If you got the coronavirus and you died. If you got the Ebola plague and you died. If you got the flu or got pneumonia and you died. Would you be with Jesus today? And if they can't say yes, you say, pray this prayer with me and lead them to the Lord. It's a great opportunity. And we've seen that. This year the Lord told us it's a year of purpose. He told us it's a year of activation. So what have we been doing? You know, I've been winning the lost since I was in my teens. But we're revising that. Why? Because we need to come to another level of faith. We need to come to another level of boldness. Marvin was telling me when he first got saved, he went out with a bullhorn on the streets. But when's the last time we did that? And we don't have to use that methodology. But come on, we can witness to our waitress. We can talk to the person that's afraid. Starbucks, I heard the barista, they're saying they may cut back. They may lose their job if this thing goes on too long. All of this effect, it's a time for us to share the goodness and let people know Jesus is coming back again. It's the day of the Lord is approaching. And we need to know that this is just a sign. The virus is not a respecter of persons. It can't be contained, tamed, and we do what we desire to do, but we see it spreading. It's a pandemic. The word pandemic actually means it's in more than two countries. Understand what that means. It doesn't mean there's not control. Again, only 95% of people recover and they're fine. Are you here? But what about the next thing that comes up? This is preparation, I believe, for the church, because we're going to see more of these things in the last day. And I'm not a doom and gloom, but again, when we see fear, what is it? It's a time of danger, but it's also a time of great opportunity for the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Amen. I like the musicians to come. As we share our faith and we see people that are terrified with what's happening, we see an epidemic of fear. We need to tell people they should be more terrified about the judgment of God. Yeah. They should be more terrified that suddenly there's an unstoppable event that's going to happen when Jesus will split the sky and the dead in Christ will rise up in the sky with him, and he'll come and there will be a judgment because there's an epidemic of sin. But Jesus brought the cure. Jesus brought the vaccination. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be plundered out of hell and they'll be brought into a life of heaven, and the kingdom of God will be on the inside of them. Amen. We need to preach that. People, it's a setup for the gospel because there's an epidemic of sin. And that's what causes all these things. But there's a God who loves us, that's not here judging us, that's not here to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy does. Come on, he came to give us life. And he came to give us life more abundantly. We need to have an understanding of the times and seasons. We need to know who we are as a church. What should our response be? Number one, let's say together, number one, we should bear witness to our faith and trust in God. Number two, we should bear witness to our love for our neighbor. And number three, we should bear witness to the return of Jesus Christ. I sense the presence of God. These are exciting times that we're living in. And we don't get excited about the negativity, but we should be excited about the opportunity. And I want the ushers to just prepare. We're going to partake of the Holy Communion this morning, because the communion symbolizes the one who we build our life upon. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Jesus is the one who we build our life upon. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. He broke the power of sin and death over us. Recently, we visited someone who was sick and not doing well, and we served the Holy Communion, and the presence of God came in that moment. Come on, you could take communion at your home. We can take communion in our connect groups. We can take, because it's similar. There's power as we identify the body of Christ that was broken for us, the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Come on, I want you to just pray. I want you to thank God for what he's done. We thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross for us, so that we could walk in the newness of life, that you shed your blood for us, that, God, the epidemic of sin could be washed away, our sins could be washed white as snow, that we could approach the throne of grace, that our lives are built upon you, that the blood of Jesus is upon our life. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's upon our home. It's upon our property. And we declare, God, the coronavirus will pass us by. We declare the angel of death will pass us by. We declare no weapon formed against us will prosper in your name. That Jesus, we will be, God, in that place because of our faith. Because we build our life on your word. Because we're led by your spirit. We'll be in that place because of our prayer, because of our faith. God, there's a spiritual cocoon around us. Like John G. Lake, God, whatever comes against us, it will die before it touches our dwelling point. That as we lay hands on the sick, God, we'll drive out sickness. We'll drive out demons by the Spirit of God. That we'll boldly proclaim the truth that Jesus, you died, you were buried, you rose from the dead, you ascended into heaven, and you're coming back again. God, we pray for a great awakening in our nation. That as the nation is shaken, that the church will rise up, your people will rise up, and God, we will proclaim the good news that, God, the pandemic of sin has been taken care of because of the blood of Jesus, because of what you did, Jesus. That as you are, so we will be. So we will be in this hour, in this day, that will be a witness, a living testimony for you, of your love, of your peace, of your love for others, of this, that the second coming of our God is coming again. We honor you. Empower us. Inspire us. Let us have a right understanding of the times and the seasons we're living in. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, come on, let's partake of the body of Christ that was broken for us. The cup of the new covenant in his blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus this morning. Come on, just lift your hands and just thank him this morning. We thank you for protection. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be a witness for you, Jesus. Jesus, be the center of it all. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other kingdom but the kingdom.
kingdom of Jesus. We thank you this morning. We honor you, Jesus.
Every other throne is under your throne. Every other kingdom is under your kingdom.